each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to TGIF. Today, we can say that. We've said it every day with the hope that it would be, but it's
now
but today
it is
TGIF. Thank God it's Friday, and I am your brother, and I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus, borrowing those words from St. John as he opens up the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, the apocalyptic book of the Bible. It's a very beautiful book, actually. You know, it's full of cryptic language and all that, but it's amazing we don't really kind of stay away from that book for some reason. I guess it a little bit freaks people out.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
But it really is quite beautiful because it's it doesn't tell us anything we don't know. I mean, we're in the battle. But the beauty of the book is that the victory is ours, and will be fully realized at the end of time, as we always say. So anyway, here we are. It's been a stressful morning, as always. What's new, right? With nothing new under the sun, trying to determine what, you know, it's amazing. You
the
know,
whole week, and we survive.
We survive.
Because God.
We haven't survived. You survived. I think I've got what you and you guys, what you guys had.
Sorry,
you know, so
Father.
It's there.
We recycle it.
I don't know, but anyway, we had the confirmation yesterday. It was very, very, very nice.
Beautiful.
It was so nice. That's right. Congratulations, yes, Tony. You were a godfather.
Yes, the godfather.
The Godfather. There's the Godfather right there.
Yes.
I noticed you only had one and your wife had two.
Yeah.
So you know who the better of the two are.
I was upset because I wanted two, too.
Yeah. No, that was right. It was very nice seeing you guys come
it's
up here.
Cool.
So it was, we had 57 young people. And the security guard at the end of the mass, because he comes in late, and this is a late mass, but he was so impressed, and he said, you know, it was just, he was very
moved,
sharing his heart with me, and he says it was just a very moving experience, and he said, all these young people, he said, you know, it's amazing, you know, you see this, so it was very nice, and the bishop he's just a wonderful man, he really
is.
So, but anyway, but we'll get back to that in a moment. Geraldine, how are you doing? And
good.
Christina.
I just came from one of my favorite places, church.
It's the best place to be.
Yes. The only place that saves me.
Before the Blessed Sacrament.
Yep.
Absolutely. And I'm fighting this cough now, so it's just as I talk, you know how that is when you get that tickle in your throat?
Oh, yes.
And Nick, how are you doing today, by the way?
Hanging in there and doing
we didn't
all
even
right
talk to you yesterday.
On.
We didn't
That's
even
right.
acknowledge you.
You had a serious topic to focus on, so
yeah,
it's
we did.
Okay, but no, I'm
yeah.
all right.
Hey, every time we talk, we're serious, you know. This is always a serious.
Yeah, but I'm doing okay. Just been working a lot, keeping busy, and doing all right nonetheless.
Going to have a busy weekend, or do you get a little bit of rest during the weekend?
Originally, I was going to be teaching a private lesson tomorrow before I have to go to the station that I work at for not only this show, but also the others.
Right.
But yeah, they are going to be going out of town for a little bit, so I'll get a little break in between there. Take care of some things. I've been trying to get spring cleaning, as they say.
It's the time of year.
Stuff for the winter and trying to go through stuff and give it away to Goodwill and good cause.
Well, I tell you, it's a beautiful spring day today, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm still wearing shorts and sandals. I'm not ready to give those up yet today with everything.
Are you wearing those?
Mm-hmm.
I can see the T-shirt. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Got a crab on there too.
The crab.
Yeah. From Florida.
Florida.
But still, I'm all right and doing pretty good.
That should be a Jerry's shirt, right?
Because that's what she is. I know. Actually, that's my zodiac sign. That's my zodiac.
Are you serious?
I was well chosen.
So
yes.
There is something to
there
that.
There is a connection.
Oh,
yes.
We're on the same boat, Jerry.
I know.
I'm also a crab.
Well, there you go. That explains
those
it.
Those two crabs.
You're blessed with two crabs, Father.
You might just convert me today, you know. So.
No.
Anyway, no, I'm just joking. You know that we like to josh you, to joke you, joke with you. Is it Josh? Is that what joke? Josh means
sure.
To joke.
We're just giving you static, Jerry.
Josh,
mm-hmm.
Giving you static.
I can handle it.
Horse laughs.
Yeah, she's drunk.
Anyway, and Christina, you're doing fine today too.
Yeah, I am so happy it's Friday. I can't. You can't even imagine how happy I am. Well, Jerry would know. It's been. The past 3 weeks have been really intense.
It has
intense.
Been. It really,
and
really has been.
Just getting sick, it doesn't
exactly.
make it.
And you're healthy today.
Yes, I feel. I
you
feel
look
that.
Healthy.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the gift, by the way. Yeah.
I have to share it. You know, I can't just keep it to myself.
I mean, it's not. I don't feel as bad as you guys did, but I don't know if it's that I'm going into that or what. I'm.
Yeah. The body has a way of taking care of.
Yeah.
But you're pretty strong, Father.
I'm strong. I'm very strong, and I'm drinking my lime and with the green tea and the lime, straight lime. Lime. But anyway, yeah.
Everybody's feeling a good Friday feeling today.
Yeah, yes. Well, I'm not so much, though. Oh. I'm sorry to say, you know, but it's been so busy, and it's the busiest time of year. I keep saying that, but it's like, okay, you know, but as I said yesterday, I got to remind myself and remind all of you that God gives a bit of a respite,
yes.
You know. What's exciting me, though, what has excited me, I should say, and this came to me during the Mass this morning. Actually, before the Mass, I was reading again I pray before the Mass, and then I pray after the Mass. I try to make a holy hour after the Mass in the morning. So the Mass is at 6:15. So I get up at 4 o'clock so I can, you know, have some time to pray before the Mass, and then I like to make a holy hour after because it's still early enough. Mm. You finish by 7 o'clock, and, you know, then you by 8 o'clock, you know, it's I'm prayed out. So, you know, not really. I'm just joking. But it kind of sets a tone for the day.
Right. It's a good start.
Because you know you're going into the battle. And,
yes.
And you want to have the weapons to to fight the good fight and to claim the victory. So I was reading the Bull of Indiction on the mercy on just beautiful, and it. So I'm already planning, you know, what we're going to do for the Jubilee year, and I decided during the Mass. I think I mentioned it. I declared it, didn't I?
You did declare it.
I made
yes.
a declaration.
I was thrilled, yes.
I made a declaration at the end of the Mass that in October we would have and I'm going to do this. We're going to have a mission, a week-long mission on mercy as a preparation for the Jubilee year.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be open to the whole Archdiocese, to all our listeners, all of you. And it'll be 1 week. Will be in English, and the next week will be in Espanol, in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do it. Because I'm excited about it. Why I want to do it.
No, it sounded great.
Yeah, yeah, I want to do it. Because I think it would be a good way. And then, I've already set the dates and all that. So mark your calendars. Got the dates here. I had them somewhere.
Okay.
They're in the book. Probably.
Actually, October 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th in English. And October 5th is the feast day of St. Maria Faustina Kowalska.
Yes.
So that would be an appropriate time to begin.
Mm-hmm.
And then the week after would be in English. And then I want to see about doing it in Polish as well, but I can't do the Polish. I have to get somebody to come in or maybe send them down to Holy Trinity down the street, which would probably be the better thing. Because when they do something, they bring I was going to say millions. It's a bit of an exaggeration. They bring thousands of people out. And they use our little parking lot. They've got a huge parking lot.
Yes, I know. Too.
But anyway, so I think that would be really, really nice.
Sounds great.
And we'll do it in a way that it's done within the context of the Mass, so that my homily would be the mission part of it, which would be maybe 30 to 40 minutes, 45 minutes to an hour, or an hour and a half. We'll say it depends on how the Spirit moves me, right?
Sure.
And I think that would be really nice. And then when we get into Lent, because the Pope is asking, you know, that we have a very intense Lent, and intense in the sense that, you know, we really want to be missionaries of mercy, missionaries of mercy, sends us out as missionaries of mercy to call people back in, but that we would focus on the corporal and the spiritual works of mercy. So we'll do the same thing, only it would be a different topic. So I think in October what I'll do is I'm going to really try to just focus on the bull of indiction, mm-hmm. on mercy, because it's just so beautiful, so beautiful. I'm just so inspired reading it. And then in Lent we'll do the corporal and the spiritual works of mercy. I think that'd be nice.
Yes.
Because the thing, the gospel this morning was beautiful. Excuse me, both those readings. But I thought about that with the gospel, because in the gospel today, being read all over the throughout the world, the Catholic world, Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Catholic. That's how Tony says it. Tony says Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Say it. Catholic.
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 But yes. You do the D, the TH with the D.
Yes, he does.
And I like that. I kind of like that.
He does. That's the
like
neighborhood.
It's old school.
Neighborhood.
It's old school, baby.
I like it. It's the way it's got to be, you know.
Gotcha.
So because this is kind of no nonsense. It means, you know, we mean business. You know, it's
don't mess with us.
Yeah. You know what?
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? Whatever. Anyway. But so the beautiful gospel, this is John's gospel, but I'll relate it also to Matthew and Mark, Luke, or Luke and Mark, Matthew, the three. I think it's in it must be in all the synoptics, but there's just a little bit of a different, and actually the Pope includes this in the bull of indiction. I like saying that, the bull of indiction. Sounds so, I don't know, just official, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Also confusing to me.
Yeah.
Why confusing to you?
I looked up indiction.
Did you? Okay.
And it refers to a 15-day period. I have no idea what that means.
15-day period.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
So the indiction, I don't understand what indiction really is.
Did you spell it right, I wonder?
Yes, I did. I-N-D-I-C-T-I-O-N, yes.
What was it, 15 or 50 or 500?
1-5.
That would be 1-5 would be 15.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's strange, isn't it?
Maybe it's a non-Catholic dictionary, so probably it's something else.
I think you're
else.
Right, yeah.
But I don't know what else to look at.
You got to go to the Latin source.
Okay.
Because actually...
maybe because we're in 2015. I'm just saying.
No, as you were translating, convocation.
Yes,
or
it declaration.
Declaration.
That's what it said.
I'd like to say declaration. Declaration.
Declaration, yeah.
I don't know.
I think you probably had the... You probably misspelled the word, Geraldine, I think.
I don't think so.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Somebody get a dictionary. Anyway, yeah, look it up on your little telephone. Those phones have everything. But anyway, we'll check that out because I can't imagine. But I had never heard the word before, to be honest.
No.
Indiction.
That's why indictment is what...
Yeah. Well, that's what kept coming to my mind.
I know,
and I knew it wasn't
coming
right,
to mind.
So,
and that
anyway.
Sounds like trouble.
It is.
Sounds like trouble.
So anyway, in the gospel, back to some serious stuff here, yes. You know, and but I am curious about that now, about you, Geraldine. I think you.
I'm curious.
I actually like to prove her wrong, you know, because she always thinks she's right about everything.
No, I don't.
She doesn't
don't.
Think she's right. She knows.
I know.
She knows she's right. But anyway, the beautiful gospel. So Jesus, he's crossed the Sea of Galilee, and the large crowd, they follow him, right? And because they saw the signs that he was performing. Do you realize that in John's gospel, they're not called miracles. They're called signs.
Mm-hmm.
And the other Gospels are the miracles of Jesus, but in John's Gospel, they're signs.
Wow.
The signs. What was the first sign, and what was the last sign? It's a test.
The first sign.
Wedding feast at Cana. What happened at the wedding feast in Cana
water
of Galilee?
Water was changed into wine.
Into wine.
By Jesus.
And who asked Jesus to change the water into
His
wine?
His mother.
Very good.
Blessed Mother.
And what did Jesus say to her?
What concern is that of ours?
Woman,
oh, yeah. Yes.
And then what did she say? How does she respond?
Do as he says.
To whom?
To the people who are going to fill the water jars.
Okay, very good. See, okay.
That's why I like Jerry around.
Jerry knows her stuff.
Okay, so you got the first sign. Now, what about the last sign? What was the last sign? Think.
The last sign of, I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Think,
about
think,
the last miracle.
The last, the sign, I said sign.
I know
John's
you did.
Gospel, I said sign. Not miracle, sign.
That's because he was a favorite one. He could call it sign, yes.
So what was the last sign? I'll give you a clue to our listeners. Because these three musketeers aren't going to get it right.
No, I wasn't paying attention, Father. I was looking up the word over
three
here.
Stooges are
three
better.
Stooges.
The three wise men, guys.
The last sign, I'll give you a clue. Bethany.
Lazarus.
What about Lazarus?
The raising of Lazarus from the dead.
Yes, and who was his sister and brought his? Who are his sisters?
Mary and Martha.
Very good, okay. And when was, that was the last sign, he was, what was he doing? Where was he going? Jesus.
He was on his way to Jerusalem.
Right, for what? For
to
what
be
reason?
Killed.
Okay. All right. And what did he do when he got to Bethany?
He brought Lazarus back from the dead.
But what did he do before he brought him back from the dead? He saw the people.
Yeah.
And they were grieving.
Right.
What did he do?
He wept.
He wept. He wept.
Two stooges.
No.
One stooge.
One, there you
go. Three stooges.
And then what did he, then he asked Lazarus to be rise, to rise from the dead, right?
Right.
Come out. Come out. And he came out, and then what did he say?
Take the burial bands off of
that's
him.
That's right. That's right. All right, so very good.
Just you to passed see. The test, yeah. Said Jerry.
Well, with help with Tony.
Christina was sitting back. Watching. She knew all along.
She didn't know
it. She
any
did.
Of
she
this.
Was just letting us speak.
Sure. I'm looking up the word over here.
She's
indiction.
Trying to find indiction.
Yeah, so, you gave her something
so
else
I'm
to
not
do.
Out of it now.
So anyway, so back to the gospel. This is good, though. This is, see, this is helps us to remember the story, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Because that's one of the things, too, the Holy Father said in the, and I concur with that, and I would say the same thing if I were the Holy Father in Rome. I would say, you know, get into the gospel. He says, be silent and get, this says, be silent and get into the gospel. In other words, read, contemplate, reflect and contemplate the gospels. We got to know the story. It's imperative that we know the story. So anyway, speaking of the gospel, so today there's a large crowd. He crosses to the Sea of Galilee. The large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he performed on the sixth. So when you hear signs, you know this is John's gospel. And Jesus went up on the mountain. There he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. And Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him. And what did he say to Philip? He says, Philip, well, first of all, let me go back. This isn't written in this gospel, but in the other. He looked on them and he took pity on them. He took pity on them. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he says, Philip, excuse me, Philip, where can we buy enough food for them to eat? And he said this to test Philip, right? Because mm-hmm. he knew what he was going to do. Again, he knew what he was going to do. Just like, by the way, he says, this is interesting, John. So even when he went to Bethany, he knew what he was going to do. Mm-hmm. And because the apostles, the word got back to him that, you know, your friend Lazarus, because those were... Lazarus, Mary, and Martha were his friends. They're identified as his friends, close friends of Jesus. And so the word got to him that Lazarus was sick. And Jesus waited until he died.
Right.
Because he knew what he was going to do. Mm-hmm. He was going to raise him from the dead as a prelude to his own resurrection, right? Because Lazarus is risen from the dead, but he has to die again. Yeah. Mm. Jesus doesn't die again, nor do we when we pass through the door of death. We're not going to come back. We're not going to come back. We don't believe in this reincarnation.
Mm-mm. No.
Oh, thank God. We just live this life once.
Once is enough.
You know,
yeah, it's enough.
The best is yet to come.
But it's like, even
unless I could come back in Italy. You know, if I could come back, I told my cousins once, I said, you know, they were in Italy. We were talking, and we were just walking around, and I said, you know, I said, I'm a believer in reincarnation. And I said, you know, my hope and prayer is that when I come back, that I be born in Italy, to be Italian, full Italian, 100% Italian. And I was very serious. And they looked at me like they were stunned. Like, what are you talking about? You're a Catholic priest. We don't believe in reincarnation. I said, no, but I believe in that. I believe we're all going to, you know. No, I was just joshing with them, right?
Yeah.
Just joking. But they took me serious.
like as a lot of people.
Yeah, they were just, they were, my cousin in Dallas, she was just kind of like, what are you talking about? You know, what are you talking about? We don't believe in, no, of course. No, because you know, we're destined for a share in the resurrection of Christ into the kingdom. You know, so we're on the way. We're in the, this is the preparation for this encounter with God and to be reunited with our loved ones, you know, the grand flock, the big flock. This side, we're always, like Jesus said, little flock, don't be afraid. I'm not going to abandon you. I'll be back. I won't leave you. I will come back. It's better that I go than I stay with you through the word of God and through the sacraments.
But doesn't he do that with us when you're saying that he knew what he was going to do, but right. he wanted to see, and he still does that with us. He knows what he's going to do,
example.
But he wants to see.
Example.
He wants to see what our reaction, so when we're under pressure or we're at that stage,
breaking point
where we're like, help, or how is this is not going to happen? This is impossible. Nothing is impossible for him, and he just wants to test to see how much trust, how much faith do we really have.
Example.
Well, okay, well, let's just say this week was terrible.
There were
so many things as the past 3 weeks, actually, intense. And it's like, there's no let up.
Right.
We have to turn in these deadlines, these reports. We have the bishop coming. We have to have everything ready.
Right.
But there's no let up. How
there's
are we
no
going to get?
Up.
There's no let
no
up.
No time,
we,
and I'm sick.
And I'm sick, but yet he,
and the phone keeps ringing.
And
the doorbell keeps ringing. The phone keeps ringing.
And I felt terrible because I couldn't. I'm like, Lord, this is too much for me. Help! I do what I can. But yet he gives you the grace. He was able to give me the grace. And of course, you, Father, too. You have so much on your plate.
More than you.
Of course.
No, I'm just joking.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. I am joking. Why do I do that? I got a sick sense of humor, I think, you know?
Well, you know what? In a sense, you are joking, but in a sense, you're not.
It's a different busyness, you know? It's a different busyness.
Same difference.
Yeah. but anyway, you survived.
We survived.
I survived.
Here.
We should make a song like that. I survived.
It's already been done.
Has it been done?
I will survive. Yeah,
we will survive.
We will survive.
Well, we're not going to survive if we don't take a break now. We got to take a break, and we'll come back and get back in. But you're right. Thanks for the example. It's a good example. All right, everybody. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change?
Yes.
Yes, on AM 750 WNDZ.
On Wednesday, April 29th at 7 p.m., hear Juliana Tamarazzi of the Iraqi Christian Relief Council share with us the story of persecuted Christians in our world. Learn their real story. Wednesday night, April 29th at 7 p.m. at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Complete details on the events calendar on the homepage at ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com. Sponsored by Respect Life Ministries of the Orland Park Parishes of Our Lady of the Woods, St. Francis of Assisi, and St. Michael, and the Homer Glen Parishes of St. Bernard and Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link. Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for being with us. So back to the gospel. You guys are going to have to carry me again through the show.
Like always, right?
We can always do that. We're wonderful.
And then you hate that when you want to talk and you're fighting a cough as you're talking.
Terrible.
But anyway, so Jesus, how many times has he said he crossed the Sea of Galilee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Large crowd followed him, and because they saw the signs he was performing were in John's gospel, but in the other gospels, when they're recounting the multiplication of the loaves, and it says that Jesus, he looked at he looked on the crowd and he took pity on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he asked Philip, he says, "Where can we buy enough food for the for them to eat?" How many were there? How many people were there, by the way?
Thousands.
5,000. One of the Gospels. Oh, do you hear this Gospel? 5,000, about 5,000 in number. That's
not
a lot of people.
Not counting women and children.
Not counting the women and children.
Because they don't eat. No.
They just didn't count in those days, I guess, you know. So, but anyway, but that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a lot of people. And so anyway, where can we buy enough food for them to eat? And he said this, Jesus said it to test him because he knew himself. He knew, because he himself knew what he was going to do. And Philip said, you know, 200 days wages, listen, worth of food wasn't enough, would not be enough to, for each of them to have a little, little. So, you know, get real, you know, Jesus, get real. I love the, you got to think about these disciples, you know, because I love the story too. There's many incidences of this. So you have to kind of get into their thinking. Right? What are they thinking? What are they feeling, you know? That's what part of what it means to get in the story. So I always, I just love the response when all these, again, a crowd is hemming in on Jesus and they're all over him. And this one, the woman who was, had suffered the hemorrhage for so many years said, if I can just get to him, if I can touch, just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be healed, I will be cured. And she touched him. And Jesus said, somebody touched me. And the disciples said, everybody's touching you.
Like, are you for real?
He says, no. He says, somebody touched me because I felt power go out of me, you know. And so you had to think, you know, just that the, you know, everybody's touching you. But they, but here, you know, is this, so what, you know, there's five, you got, where are we going to get the food to feed 5,000 people, not counting the women and the children?
Right.
And, you know, 200 days wages worth of food wouldn't be enough for each of them to have a little bit. And one of the, and this is kind of, you got to think of this too. One of the disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said, well, there's a boy here who has five loaves of bread and two fish.
Oh, I mean, what, come on.
Hey, you're talking about, how are we going to, you know, think about that, right? So
it's better than nothing.
You know, you want, there is some, but what good are these for so many, you know?
Yeah.
So got to get into that. And then, but then Jesus said, have the people recline. Have them recline. Now, how do you get 5,000 people to recline, not counting the children and the women, you know? But they did. And there was a great deal of grass. By the way, we had Mass at this place in during the Holy Year. Holy, during the...
The Jubilee.
Jubilee year.
2000.
We were on that, the Hill of the Multiplication of Law. Or was it the Hill of the Beatitudes?
Beatitudes, probably.
The Beatitudes. Or was it the same? Are they one and the same?
I don't know.
No, I'm a little bit...
I think they're not, but I don't know.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Is that the one where it was muddy?
Yes. Yeah. Where the miracle of the my being in front of the Pope, you know, that was another story.
The one seat?
The one empty seat right in front of the Pope.
The one empty seat?
For me. Yeah, because the people prayed.
But not with your name on it. No, no.
No, it didn't have my name. No. But I remember just going there, and I was looking around. I just said, should I take it or should I not, you know? It's the only seat that was available.
See?
And I didn't have the press pass to get in.
It was a miracle.
It's a long story, but it was...
It was a miracle.
It was a miracle.
Sign. The sign.
It was
miracle.
Right there. Can you imagine? One empty seat right there in the center, right in front of the Holy Father.
Yeah.
And the proof was, as I said, you know, when I went back to the bus afterwards... I said, I can't wait to tell the people that I had the seat right, because they were so far away.
They couldn't see.
They couldn't see. These I'll were the pilgrims I had. It. And I knew I didn't have a press pass, so I said, please, you know, pray that I can get in. And this was at midnight, because it was, you had to wait all night. And then it was only about 6 in the morning that they started bringing the people through, into those who were going to be in the part near the Pope. There's Pope John Paul, was it Pope John Paul II?
Yes, it was.
And so anyway, I got in there, you know, by the grace of God. And I tell you, when I wasn't vested, but I didn't, and these were big press passes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They were huge. And I was watching them turn people away, other priests. So I got my Roman collar on. I've got my investments. And he says, no, your name's not on the list. And you go through four different checkpoints. Wow. And I thought, there's no way I'm going to get in. So I was tempted to leave. And I said, no, just stay. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to explain how it happened, but they just sent me, they looked at me, and they said, they pointed in this direction. And I went through that door, bypassed all the the security.
There goes an example,
I went right through the door. And I immediately put on my vestments so that they wouldn't see that I didn't have a press pass.
Right, right.
And walked into the where the mass was being celebrated. You know, they were preparing, and there was already 1,000 plus priests seated, vested, and there was this one empty seat right in front of the altar. Right, I mean, right the center.
Right in front, right.
And so I thought, during the whole mass, I just kept thinking, nobody's going to believe this. It was a very moving experience to see Pope John Paul II. Sure. It was so moving. I mean, I don't think there was a dry tear in the place because it was 2000. Yeah. He died in 2005, but he was already very much weakened. But the mysticism, the presence of God, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But anyway, but I was also thinking, I can't wait to tell everybody that I had the center seat. So after the mass was over, we got back to the buses, and I told everybody, and they didn't believe me. They really didn't believe me. Yeah. They thought I was exaggerating. So I said, okay, well, leave it at that. That's, you know, what can I do? You know, it's just, it is what it is. You know, if they don't believe me, that's okay. If they think I'm exaggerating, I don't embellish, I don't lie, I'm not, you know, so whatever. So we get to the hotel, and there were some older women who couldn't, kind of in your age category, they couldn't make it to the, they didn't want to be out because we had to be out there all night. It had rained the day before and all that. And they just thought, well,
old person can't do that.
We'll just stick around. We'll stay back at the hotel and we'll watch it because they had it broadcast on the TV. Sure. So we're getting off the bus and they're coming running. Now, these are women who don't normally run, but they're running.
They came out running.
They're running. And they say, Father, we saw you were right there in front of the Pope. We saw you right there in front of the Pope. So I didn't say anything. I just kind of let everybody.
Told you so.
Anyway.
But see, Jesus did that. He knew what he was going to do.
He knew what he was going to do.
But he wanted to see what you were going to do.
That's right. That's right. And he wasn't too happy with my pride. I think you know that. No. I was humbly. Sure. Really, I was humbled by the whole experience. It was absolutely beautiful. So anyway, back to the gospel. We're going to take us a whole hour to get back to this gospel.
That's okay.
But it's Friday, you know, and we're going into the meeting. So into the weekend.
Right.
Weekend. I've got meetings coming up yet. So anyway, he has the people recline. And of course, he multiplied the bread and the fish, and they had so much to eat. Let's see, he stirred to them, those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish. They had as much as they wanted, in other words, as much as they wanted. Now, excuse me, the reason why I bring it up is because as I was reading that, I was thinking about this holy year. In essence, the Holy Father, the Pope, Francesco, is, in a sense, asking us to recline for the year, you know, to recline in order to be fed. To be fed with what? To be fed with God's mercy, an abundance of mercy. He even quotes this from the gospel, overflowing, pressed down and overflowing. I don't remember the exact words of the gospel. I have to look it up. But this idea, the copious flowing, in other words, the Lord wants to pour mercy. He wants to pour. This is what the message of St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, of Jesus to St. Maria Faustina Kowalska. That the desire on the part of the Lord to fill us with His mercy in order to set us free, to keep us, you know, to keep us, to bring us out of darkness, to bring us away from what binds us. And it's a year of grace, an opportunity. You know, so it's in essence asking the whole church, recline, not just the church, but the world, because if we're being sent out to be missionaries of mercy, it's, you know, certainly to our own, but then to the whole world. It's interesting, you know, Jesus in the gospel, he says, don't think I've come for the Gentiles. I've come for the Israelites. Why did he say that? He said, Don't think I've come for the Gentiles. No, I've come for Israel. Why?
The chosen people.
But why? It's certainly they're the people of the covenant, mm-hmm. but why? I'm asking you why. I want an answer. Why?
Well, because that's what he chose.
I mean, because we know that in the gospel he went to the Gentiles, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
I mean, there's the Samaritan. He crosses over the other side to the other side of the Sea of Galilee to the Gerasene, the pagan territory,
right? Mm-hmm.
The Gentile territory, which is to the to the east of the Sea of Galilee, you know, and there he performs exorcisms and all that and healings. But why did he? But he did say, "I don't think I've come for the Gentiles. I've come for the Israelites, for Israel." He said that because it's as if you don't get it, nobody's going to get it.
No.
Because from this nation the Messiah comes, mm-hmm. and he's going to send. I'm going to send you out to all the nations. So I've come first and foremost to Israel. You know, that you get it, that you understand, so that you be my emissaries, my disciples, my ambassadors, you go to bring the good news to the whole world. Go out to all the nations. The risen Christ will say before he ascends to the Father. Didn't we hear that just the other day? Mm-hmm. On Sunday, the gospel?
Yeah.
You know, go and forgive sins. Go to all the nations. I think it was. You know. So it's Israel, you've got to get it. Because those were his disciples. They were all Jewish. They were the people of the covenant. And he's going to break from this covenant out into the, to envelop, embrace the whole of the world. It's a beautiful thing. So in a sense, you know, first and foremost, this comes to the church, this holy year. Mm-hmm. What, for what reason? But so that we can go out to the world to bring the good news of God's mercy, God's incomprehensible mercy, that whatever is binding you, whatever darkness you might, you may be enveloped in darkness, you might be, you know, whatever is binding you, that the Lord wants your freedom. He wants you to be set free. He wants your liberation. He wants to bring you into communion. He's waiting. He awaits the encounter. You know, you've been found. This is the message. You know, you've been found. You've been founded. God, your creator, has come, is here. He's visited. So anyway, I see when I was reading the gospel, I was thinking about that. It's like this holy year is let the people recline and be receptive. I look at them and I take pity on them. They're like sheep without a shepherd. They're hungry. They're thirsting. For what? But for my love, for my mercy. And this is what I want to bring into their lives, that basically that they have hope, mm-hmm. and that they can be at peace, and that they'll be strengthened in order to be on the journey, on the way toward the homeland. Anyway, it's something to think about, right?
Yes.
Okay, as I'm holding my breath so that I don't cough, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located 2 blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to his people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Hello, I'm Father Thomas Loya of the Tabor Life Institute. I'm inviting you to an opportunity to be pierced by the sheer beauty of God's plan for your life, to make the connection between God, sex, and the meaning of life.
As Father Loya invites you to hear renowned speaker and author Christopher West, Saturday, April 25th, at St. Mary Immaculate Parish in Plainfield, Illinois.
Original sin for all of us, for every human being on the planet, has disoriented our desires. We often find ourselves hungry for things that don't satisfy the ache, don't satisfy the need.
Join Christopher Saturday, April 25th from 6:30 till 9:30 p.m. at St. Mary Immaculate Parish, 15629 South Route 59, Plainfield, Illinois. Limited seating. Register online to coreseminar.evenbright.com. Core spelled C-O-R, Bright spelled B-R-I-T-E.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us today. It's a beautiful confirmation again yesterday, Tony. You did a good job bringing your godson to the front. It's a moving experience because the young people, and there were adults as well. There were some adults, but mostly younger people by, when I say younger people, I mean teenagers. They were probably 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. Consider that young. And they just, you know, the bishop was, it was very simple, but it was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, they each wore their saint's name, and sometimes he asked, you know, why did you choose the saints? So he would refer to them by their saint's name.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the kids were just, some of them, yeah, they were nervous. Mm-hmm. Some were nervous, sure. Naturally. But others were.
I was nervous.
Were you nervous? For what?
I don't know. For some reason, I was.
Really?
You just had to stand there.
All I had to do was stand there, but I was nervous.
Eh, that's amazing. That's amazing.
The spotlight was on you.
Maybe that's it. Mm-hmm. I don't like the spotlight.
You don't like it?
No.
I do, you know. I like when
that's
the lights.
The
I like the, you
that's
know,
the
I like to be at the center.
That's a good place to be, Father.
It is.
Well, you have the spotlight on you right now.
So. Yeah, I do. No, I'm just joking. I tell the people that too, you know, because really, I don't, you know, to be honest, I really, and yet you may find this hard to believe, but I really don't. That's why even for the mission, I just want to keep it within the sanctuary because that's where I'm comfortable. That's mm-hmm. my safe. That's my sure. My comfort zone mm-hmm. is. A couple of times I was invited to speak at these big conventions. I that's just not me. I can't do it.
Especially when the mic doesn't want to cooperate.
Where was that?
That was at the Marian convention.
It didn't work?
It just didn't want to stay still. Yeah, we were having problems with that mic.
I don't remember.
I do remember because I was in the front row.
Blocked it out or blocked
yeah.
it? Really? Was that the one with Kathleen?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Who couldn't say stand, what did
she said, "Oh, welcome, Father Anthony Bush from Saints." And she could say Saint Stan. She said Saint Santa Claus.
Santa Claus.
She said, "Oh, I don't know. I wish I was Polish."
She was Irish.
She was Irish.
Ireland, really from Ireland. But no, that's I did about three or four of those,
yes.
And I just I can't do it. I just mm-hmm. I'm not into that. It's just not my call.
No,
you know. But to be in the parish, to be in the sanctuary, mm-hmm. to be at the mass at the ambo,
oh,
I'm
yeah.
comfortable with that. So, anyway,
it's sort of like what the bishop was sharing before the confirmation. How he said how the calling to the priesthood at the age of 13, and he entered the seminary at 15.
Right.
In Mexico, and he said Cardinal Francis George ordained him a priest, and he called him into his office to ask him to become bishop that he wanted to. He chose him to become bishop, and he said his answer at first was no, and he said, "Oh, so you're saying no to God?" And he said, "Well, then I couldn't say no at that point." But he said when he called his mother to tell her that he was to become that they asked him to become a bishop, that the mother said, she knew already somebody had called her, and the mother said, "Why you?" And he said, "That's why I'm asking, why me? I'm not that smart. I'm not." And it's like we go back to
his mother.
His mother. He said she was always supportive of him
sure.
becoming a priest. She was, but when asked to be a bishop, why you? You know.
But of all people.
Of all people. And he said, that's my question. There's somebody better than I'm not that smart. I'm not that. And that's where, you know, the saying.
Oh, he actually kind of said that in the homily yesterday to the kids, too.
Yes.
Or to the young people. He said, it's not about us. He says, I can't do this. This is God.
Yes.
This is God.
And that saying that says, I don't know where I heard it, where God doesn't choose the equipped. He equips those he chooses.
Right, right. I made it kind of a joke, but I guess the bishop took me serious, you know, because I said, before we were going out, we were leaving the sacristy to go in the procession, and I said, do you mind if I get my crozier and mitre as well? And he said, you know, you should have one as well. And I said, no way. And I was just joking, you know, but anyway.
But it's funny because he said, I just wanted to be a priest. I never thought I would be a bishop.
And you can tell that he's very humble. By the way, since we're talking about the bishop. So two things happened when he come. First of all, he came here and, well, let me just tell you first, the first thing that happened. So the second thing that happened, but before the first thing that happened, so that would be the second.
Because that's the second.
The second thing. So he said that they were burned out of their rectory.
Yes.
You know, right before Holy Week. So he's living in two different places, and everything was gone, all his clothes and everything.
Oh wow.
He said, thank God he was doing a confirmation or something because he had all his vestments, and when he got home. Evidently, the place had been burned out. And so all that was destroyed. It was.
And then they had to put away the clothes because of the smoke.
Right. It was the smoke inhalation. Mm-hmm. It's no good anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you have the Pope to blame for that. Because the Pope wants, the bishops, everybody to be poor, to be poor. And he said, well, he says, that's the second thing I've got to blame the Pope for, because he said the first thing, he came here in January, and it was Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
So we had arranged to have the bishop come for the 11:30 Mass. A Hispanic community had invited him. So we were planning this great big celebration, the Mass, and then there was going to be a big dinner afterwards. And,
that's right.
Or big dinner, I mean.
The gathering.
Gathering, convivencia, you know, a little fiesta. And people were bringing food and all that. Well, that was it was a horrific snow day. That was the big
blizzard.
Snow of the year.
Sick.
And so I early in the morning, I said, you know, call the bishop. We're not going to have anybody here.
My phone was ringing, Father.
So I said,
people were calling. They couldn't get here.
Right. People couldn't come. So I told Christina, I said, you know, get a hold of the bishop and tell him not to come. We're not canceling the Mass. We're going to have the Mass. But but it just doesn't, you know.
We don't want him coming.
In the snow, and the people aren't going to be here. So tell him. So we got Christina.
I called
back.
She said, Gloria.
Everything is fine. I called the secretary. He's not, you know, we canceled and all that. So we're preparing for the Mass, and I'm telling everybody, well, the bishop's not coming and all that. And then all of a sudden then the other thing that was amazing, we had CCD, the catechism students.
And they showed up.
They showed up.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
all of a sudden, the church is filling up with people. Mm-hmm. This is a major, this is a blizzard, actually. We're
and
having
even
a
the
blizzard.
Children's choir, all these people live
everybody was there.
Far.
And I said, the bishop's not coming. He's not coming. And then who shows up at the last minute? The bishop.
The bishop.
You know, because he didn't get the message.
Yeah.
He didn't get the message.
And thank God he didn't get the message.
So anyway, to make a long story short, after the Mass, because the snow's coming down pretty hard through the whole thing, and then we get this reception afterwards. So I told the people, I said, please, you know, help the bishop to get out of here. You know, his car's going to be. Well, anyway, so I didn't realize this, because he used to drive a SUV.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And he, because of the Holy Father, with a little car, so he got rid of the SUV and he's got a little car.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, he didn't say I was cursing the Pope. I think I might have said that.
Blaming the Pope.
He said, I was blaming the Pope because here I have this little car and I can't get out. And he kept getting stuck.
He said,
you know?
Got stuck like three times.
Three times on the way home, you know, because he had a little car.
Yeah. Right.
He said, if I had the SUV, I would have had no problem, you know. So anyway. But he's such a good guy, and he's just so endearing to the people.
Yes,
you know, the people just, he's very sincere, very humble. So anyway, I was reading today, but this is switching to bad news. This is AP, Associated Press, right?
Oh.
That Muslims threw Christians overboard during a Mediterranean voyage. They were refugees, or what do they call refugees from Libya, mm-hmm. you know, crossing the Mediterranean, and the Christians were thrown overboard. They were thrown overboard. About 41 are feared drowned. Well, 12 were actually they're saying about 400 migrants. They call them migrants, believed to have drowned off Libya.
Oh,
400. But this boat, the Christians were thrown overboard. They were from Nigeria, from Ghana. I was reading here somewhere where they were coming from, but Nigerians from Ghana. It's just appalling. It really is appalling. But because they were Christians, and there were other Christians on the boat, but they formed a human chain so that they wouldn't, in order to protect themselves.
Oh, boy.
Can you imagine that?
No, I can't.
Tell you. I'll tell you, here's you know, the first reading today was beautiful as well. I had to share that with you because we're only about 10 minutes. Should we take a break, Nick, or? Yeah, let's just take a, we got to take one more. Jerry, get over it. Get the chip off your shoulder. Be kind. Be merciful.
It's not in me, Father.
So, anyway, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony, listening to the Support of Winds of Change and AM 750 WNDZ.
Do you have loved ones who are away from the church? Do you feel helpless, anxious, or concerned because people you love no longer consider themselves Catholic? My name is Sister Teresa Alethea Noble. I am a religious sister with the Daughters of St. Paul, but I am also a former atheist. I was raised Catholic but rejected my faith for over 10 years. Evangelizing our friends and family is the most difficult kind of evangelization, but it is possible. I have written a book called The Prodigal You Love, Inviting Loved Ones Back to the Church, to help you invite your loved ones back to the church. You can find more information about this book at pauline.org/prodigalyoulove. Together, let's start an evangelization revolution.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. On Wednesday, April 29th at 7 p.m., hear Juliana Tamarazzi of the Iraqi Christian Relief Council share with us the story of persecuted Christians in our world. Learn their real story. Wednesday night, April 29th at 7 at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Complete details on the events calendar on the homepage at ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com. Sponsored by Respect Life Ministries of the Orland Park Parishes of Our Lady of the Woods, St. Francis of Assisi, and St. Michael, and the Homer Glen Parishes of St. Bernard and Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church.
Welcome back, everybody, as we wrap up. Thanks for being with us. We get ready for the weekend. Be a little bit not as hectic as the last couple of weekends, although you never know, you know, what's going to come through the door, you know, but you always got to be ready. But the reading this morning, this whole week we've been listening to not on the radio, but I mean at Mass, if you go to Mass daily, we're following the Acts of the Apostles and the just this wonderful, beautiful transformation in the lives of the apostles, especially Peter. And he's speaking with the authority of Christ. It's almost, you know, certainly this is in anticipation of the Pentecost and the conferring of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church as the church begins. And I just find it fascinating, the transformation. Peter is a radically different person in the Acts of the Apostles. And if you read his letters, the epistles of St. Peter as well. But today, so this week we're really basically dealing with, and again, remember, these are all Jews. They were Jewish. Mm-hmm. The primitive church was Jewish. It was all Jews. It was, again, Jesus says, I come for Israel. Don't think I've come for the Gentiles, but I've come because Israel's got to get it, because it's from this nation I'm going to go out to all the nations. And so he had those disciples who got it. And so we're now dealing with the reaction. How do you respond to these of our people, of the covenant, these people, the Jews who accept Jesus as the Messiah? They were eventually expelled from the synagogue. You know, that's for another time. But today, so Peter and John had been imprisoned and went back to their own people and reported what the chief priests and elders had told them. And when they heard it, they raised their voices to God, and with one accord they said, "Sovereign Lord, maker of heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, you said by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, your servant, why did the Gentiles rage and the people entertain folly? The king..." Oh, this is not the reading. It's today. What happened to that reading? That wasn't right. Come on, we don't have a lot of time here. This is a beautiful reading. Where is it, Jerry?
I don't know. Father.
Who read the reading? Was it Jerry?
Yeah. But this is... is that such a beautiful reading. I just had the reading here. Here we go, maybe.
Oh, that's right there.
There's Friday. This is today's Friday, right?
Yeah, that's
oh,
it.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Okay, so here
that's
we go.
That's it. Here you go.
Boy, start again.
Here we go. So the Pharisee in the Sanhedrin... A Pharisee in the Sanhedrin named Gamaliel, a teacher. He was a teacher of the law, respected by all the people. He stood up, ordered the apostles to be put outside for a short time. Now, they had been in prison, you see. And he said to the Sanhedrin, fellow children of Israel, he says, be careful what you do about, what you are about to do to these men. Mm-hmm. Because sometime, and then he gives, remember what happened, you know, sometime Theudas appeared claiming to be someone important, and about 400 men joined him, but he was killed, and all those who were loyal to him were disbanded and came to nothing. And after him came Judas the Galilean at the time of the census. He also drew people after him, but he too perished, and all who were loyal to him were scattered. So now I tell you, have nothing to do with these men. Let them go. Mm-hmm. Let them go. For if this endeavor this activity is of human origin, it will destroy itself. It'll destroy itself. So don't have anything to do with them. Okay, so they've got a following, and they're, you know, but don't, you know, when they're gone, it'll die. So don't. But, he says, but, if it comes from God, you will not be able to destroy them. You may even find yourselves fighting against God. And so they were persuaded by him not to kill them. But what they did is they had him flogged, the apostles, Peter and John. They were flogged, and they were ordered to stop speaking in the name of Jesus, and they were dismissed. It's a powerful reading.
Oh, yes.
So here we are 2,000 years later. 2,000 years later. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. He said, Peter, I say to you, you strengthen your brothers, because you need to know that Satan means to sift you all like wheat. The Lord said, it's a narrow path, it's a difficult path, it's the way of the cross. I can't promise you that you're going to be loved, you're going to be hated in this world, but you're going to be carriers of my love, instruments of the peace, pillars of truth, beacons of hope, and now we can say missionaries of mercy, right?
Right.
And so so we'll leave it at that. But it hasn't died, and it won't die, because we have the promise of the Lord, the gates of hell shall not prevail. We're not going to be fighting God.
Nope.
All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. Have a really nice weekend. I think it's going to be a beautiful weekend here in Chicago, at least. So Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao, ciao.
Time to hide, the winds have
to say.